Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rise and shine, Echo Park Speedway. We are live at probably the greatest track we have right now on the NASCAR circuit as far as action goes. Not the fastest, but the most action-packed. This is Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, a former captain, but not one here. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Park.
Yes, you're going to get parked this weekend. You keep it up. And she is the queen of tofu, but it's not on the grill yet. The first lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack. And we have Dylon making sure we are smart and on top of things, on time.
Yep, we're young.
Yeah, and a little vanilla with his taste buds all at the same time. We are the Morning Shift, and we are, like as I said, live from Echo Park Speedway, where the Quaker Steak 400 takes off tomorrow, available at Walmart.
I love it, man. So stoked to be here. And, guys, I always quote a good buddy of mine a few years back when we used to go camping down at Daytona every year, and he woke up at about 6 a.m., and he walked out, and he cracked a beer, and he goes, "This is my Nirvana." And I was like, dude, that's exactly how I feel. This is my Nirvana, guys. This is where I'm at peace, is tailgating and camping on the infield of a NASCAR track. And obviously we're lucky enough to have Echo Park Speedway right here in our backyard in Atlanta. So it has already kicked off to be a fun weekend. Move-in day was yesterday, and guys, it went pretty smoothly. The grill is already rolling. And obviously, we're tailgating, not at home today, but in the infield. So happy to be here.
There is something about this headset, Mike, that just lights Bo up. We're going to have to get him to start wearing this in studio, because I don't know if you feel like you're in a car right now or what's going on, Bo, but you are bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say it's performative, because it's not. It just – I'm lazy at times, so I'll get away with being lethargic and, you know, non-talkative. But you know, when you crank the car up, that daggone boom 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 boom, that's what I get going.
Save that one for the recap.
Yeah. So I get rolling. But no, dude, I'm gonna tell you something. Atlanta'd yesterday, Allie, because I don't know about y'all, but my trip down here was painful,
dude.
It was frustrating. It was so much that my buddy called me, who's coming down this afternoon, and he's like, he's all excited. He's like, "Hey man, what's going on?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he was like, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "The traffic. I've been in traffic for over an hour and a half right now, and I'm not even in Atlanta yet."
I mean, it was just a disaster yesterday. And when we last spoke around 4 o'clock yesterday on our show call, I know Mike was having some traffic issues as well. But I want to make sure everyone knows how stacked today's show is, because at 6:20, we are going to talk about the Braves and Mets. It was another frustrating night. We're going to cover that. And then we've got Braves insider Grant McCauley at 7:20 to help us figure out what is going on with our offense. But NASCAR driver Ty Dillon will also be joining the show today as well. That's going to happen around 8:30. It is a stacked morning live from the infield at Echo Park Speedway. So let's rewind a little bit. Go back to this traffic situation. Who had the worst commute between the two of you?
It had to have been me. And obviously, Bo's a little bit further north up the 75 corridor to try to get down here to Echo Park Speedway. I left shortly before 4 o'clock, and as soon as I put the GPS on Echo Park Speedway, I got 2 hours and 1 minute ETA, because traffic on the downtown connector was, I think there was like an hour backup, so it actually rerouted me 285. And then once I got on 285, I was in a backup, rerouted me to 20 eastbound going back towards the connector. So I got on that, and then somehow finally got south. By the time I got back south on 285, I was in another traffic jam, man. So I think the weather played a lot into it. Obviously, there was a lot of accidents yesterday on the streets of Atlanta, but Yeah, we made it, and you know what? It is what it is, because I got to listen to 929 The Game all the way down, and it arrived in a timely fashion, to say the least.
So you got to hear Jermaine Dupri and T.I. on with Carl and Mike yesterday. That was insane.
I know, right?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not taking shots, but I am. Anytime Mike Bell talks to a hip hop artist, I just laugh. It makes me laugh. But and Mike and I have talked to Jermaine Dupri before, and he's one of the nicest people. It's surprisingly how nice he can be when you get him. He's so gracious with his time, and he's obviously they're doing the Magic City documentary, which is going to be something that's kind of cool. But you know what's crazy, Allie, is Mike warned me, and yeah. I was like, well, because Amy and I ate dinner, an early dinner, and I was like, well, I got a little bit of time, so I wasn't rushed. And I think it calmed me, because normally I scream a lot more in traffic.
Yeah.
Either that, or I did tune into Turtle last night, and as his opening segment, his little opening monologue, and I thought he did a pretty good job talking about the draft and what the Hawks had did, and kind of fell on the sword a little bit. He was like, "Yeah, I was overreactionary. I was negative about the draft."
He's Turtle.
He's like, "It turns out they did everything they wanted," and it was cool because he had some guys calling in his second segment, and they were like, "People are loving what the Hawks were doing." And it kind of, to be honest, it made my commute better, because I was like, it's so nice to hear positivity in this city about what a team's trying to do, even a team that really, we talk about the futility of what the Falcons have had at times, but the Hawks have had more of it in my eyes.
Yeah, and not to go off on a tangent about that, but it is funny, because not only do you feel like that was a good move from the trade perspective, but you add in the fact that you did draft a Georgia Bulldog. We're the second team to take a Georgia Bulldog in the first round from this city in the last few months. And I think that makes a lot of people happy. And when you have talent at those spots, I mean, look, we can talk about drafting Georgia Bulldogs, and we can talk about drafting talented Georgia Bulldogs in the first round. And I think we got two talented guys when it comes to Jalen Walker and obviously Ace and Newell. So, yeah, I think the vibes were high surrounding the draft. I don't know if we talked enough yesterday about the fact that it was two Georgia Bulldogs the way it was looking. But I'm with you, man. It seems like everywhere I went yesterday, including the show and then getting home, finishing up some work, had to run to the store a couple times. I had some texts from some friends. All people wanting to talk shop about the Hawks draft picks and the Hawks game plan and the future of the Hawks and what the Hawks will be in 2025. So that's a breath of fresh air. And I think anytime that, that happens, I don't want to say we're not a Hawk city, because obviously we are a Hawk city, but very few times have I been approached or texted about actual Atlanta Hawks news in the off season, and this is exactly what we got the last few days, obviously with the Porzingis trade and then the draft pick swap and then the drafting of Ace Newell. So it's been an interesting couple of days, and then all culminating to your point, Allie, about driving down here yesterday and getting through traffic.
Yeah, so let's talk about move-in day, because you sent the video of the Braves game playing on top. I think that's Bo's truck, maybe. The TV is set up in your campsite, and it was the most serene video, Mike, yeah, of the video going, the game playing, and then you pan out across Echo Park Speedway. How was the move-in process? How long did it take to get all this set up?
Yeah, I'm somewhat of an amateur cinematographer. I don't know if you noticed with some of the videos I've been putting out there, some of the content. It's awesome. And like I said, man, this is my happy place. The grill was cranked very, very early. We had a little bit of rain, a sprinkle of rain when we first got here. Then that all passed through. It was a beautiful night, obviously, and the grill was rolling, and had some steaks being cooked last night. Then shortly after, obviously, tailgate at home is rolling, and it's not at home today. Like I said, it's on the Weber kettle.
It's at home. Yeah. This is our home for the weekend.
That's why we call it move-in day, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, it was it's just so funny to see all the different setups. And that's my favorite part of being in the infield at a NASCAR. Like, everybody's got a different setup. This guy's got this generator. This guy's converted this truck. This guy's got a fifth wheel. This guy's got, Bandolero car parked out front. This guy's got a semi-truck he's sleeping in. When you used to go to Talladega, there'd be a guy that would pull his Cuddy Cabin boat into the infield, and he would sleep inside the Cuddy Cabin boat. And I always thought that was hilarious. So, yeah, it's always interesting on those move-in days to get a feel of what the atmosphere is like at these events.
And there was another video of the grill. What are you cooking? What's that meat? Because someone ended up buying that meat eventually.
Yeah, it was me. I just fell on the sword. I had to go get a couple. I had to get a mixer and everything. So I was like, man, I'm just going to grab this pork butt. And we got a pork butt, Boston butt, pork shoulder, whatever you want to call it. We got it rolling. We put it on, what did you say, about 10-something last night?
Yeah, put it on about 10-something.
About 10-something and sprayed that. I can't believe it's not butter on it. That thing's rolling for tailgate at home, 92.9. The game, tailgate at home, send us your pictures and stuff. So that thing is rolling. Put a little Baron Burton's W sauce and rubbed it all over it. You know, it's funny, Allie, I know it's not, I mean, it's not necessarily your thing, but at one point we had three people here and everybody had their hands on a piece of meat.
Balls. No, thank you.
It was like a kitchen, an outdoor kitchen, but everybody, you know, took care. We sliced up some ribeyes last night, I think it was.
Yeah.
Man, some good meat. But anyways, yeah, it's cool to have the grill already rolling. I made Mike went out there and checked and said, hey, man, mate, spray some of my butter on there.
I know we're quickly coming to break and coming to the end of this, but I do want to point out the fact that this will be an interesting cook today for the tailgate at home because this is my favorite method of smoking with Bo's preparation and Bo's meat that he bought from the store and everything else going on. So this is my grill with my snake method with the charcoal and the hardwood, wood chunks inside the grill, and Bo is actually doing the meat end of that. So we'll see what the morning shift duo right here can put together in terms of some good food later on today. But we'll see.
Yeah, because Allie, I bowed out. I said, look, I'll handle the meat portion of this, but you just keep the grill rolling, my friend. Keep the grill rolling. It's your grill. I don't touch another man's grill unless I ask. You know, you got to respect boundaries. But I said, you keep the heat rolling, and I'll keep the meat nice and juicy.
Okay.
Hey, yo.
Well,
let's get this guy out of here.
If you have never been to the infield out at Echo Park Speedway, it's truly a city that pops up for a few days. We've got the pork butt going for tailgate at home, and we're going to be keeping you up to speed with everything that's going on before the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. So follow at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter or X, and coming up, yeah, it turned out to be a series split. We'll cover the Braves-Mets game next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift broadcasting live from the infield of Echo Park Speedway ahead of the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. You've got Mike here, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. Shout out to Campers Inn for the amazing accommodations this weekend. And also, guys, we got to give a shout out to the spouses. They are being extremely supportive, letting the Morning Shift break out of the studio for a few days while they hold it down at home.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. I had to go to work this weekend. That's the way I explained it. That's the way I explained it to my
wife.
You're
really working hard, Mike.
I'm like, man, you know what? Unfortunately, they're making me go down to Echo Park Speedway this weekend. So, yeah, I don't know. She's doing all right. Our kids are out of town, obviously, but she is going to pick them up by herself. So that's always an adventure in and of itself. But you're right. You know, you're right. Any time that I have to – you know, my arm is twisted to have to participate in an event like this. Yes, my wife has a great job of holding it down.
First off, everyone knows you're lying because everyone knows that your wife is the one that runs the household.
There's no doubt.
I was on the phone with you the other day, and I hear, hydrate! and it was in a sweet voice said sternly. I just started laughing. I was like,
that's a great way to put my wife's tone. Sweet like, voice said sternly.
I was like, yeah, Mike, hydrate, yeah. You little punk. No, I have to give a huge shout out to my wife because this is all this is what our relationship has been our entire existence with me going on trips like this or doing things like this. Just, you know, back then it was as a producer, obviously, but this is a whole new element. You know, we have a pork chop now, and it's one thing for me. I'm kind of like relearning how you know, the fact that this is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's same for me. I'm like, oh, no, it'll be no big deal. And then I go to leave, and I realize she was just finishing up feed. We were feeding Pork Chop when I was rolling out the door yesterday, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, this is different. Like, you know, I feel differently leaving than I have in the past. And so it's a little. This is a little bit different for me. This is a new trip, I think, in some ways. But yeah, I got to give her a huge shout out for allowing me to do this with such a young baby at home. And but I'm just you know, I'm not.
I'm
far
sure
away
she's
from
killing
home.
It. I'm sure she is killing it.
I don't doubt she's killing it.
Yeah,
it's
you're
just
still
it,
thankful.
She didn't have to say. She could be like this ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you're gonna FaceTime with Pork Chop this weekend? And be like, Amy, can you put Pork Chop on the phone?
Yeah, well, I'm not a. It's funny, Allie, because I despise being on the phone, like on phone calls. If there's not like something pertinent to talk about,
yeah.
And sometimes when you get on, it's just like, how you doing? What's going on? And then I'm like, all right, well, I got to go. But I was already thinking about. I was like, at least once a day, I'm going to say, hey, will you put? Yeah, let me see Pork Chop. So, and Amy sent me a picture right after I left. She's like, the girls, and it was her pork and sprinkles.
Wow.
And I was like,
that'll
okay,
do it.
That's cool. Way to you know, try to make me jealous.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, I know last night you guys had the setup going, RVs set up, and the TV was set up, and it was such a serene video, Mike, that you shot. I wish you had a better game to watch. The Braves lost 4-0 to the Mets, split the series. Mike, you used the word anemic yesterday regarding the Braves' offense. We only had 3 hits last night. Grant Holmes allowed 2 runs, 6 hits, walked 3, and struck out 6 over 5 innings. What is going on?
And can we clarify? And we did, and one of those was in the bottom of the 9th with 2 outs, down 4, which was a really, really good piece of hitting by Matt Olson. But that's all. That's like literally what I'm hanging my hat on. Hey, man, he had like 98 off Diaz.
Yeah.
First off, Griffin Canning, thoughts go out to him because he got through 2 2/3 and the same sock movement that I saw from Halliburton's calf muscle is what we saw from him. And so it looks bad. And he was having a very good year. And kind of had found some magic, and I hate that for him. But with all due respect, when the starter goes down and the Mets have to rely on 6 1/3 from their bullpen, and a bullpen that we have just absolutely hammered, and we get nothing.
And we've taxed them too. That was my thing. It's like we've taxed them. We talked about it yesterday. We've done a good job at least taxing the bullpen a little bit to the point you had to bring in Diaz in the 9th yesterday, or 2 days ago, I'm sorry. And, yeah, so, I mean, just to jump in right there, I thought we would be in a good place when they got to the bullpen.
Yeah, and we weren't. And it's just it's and look, to score 5-5-7-3-7 and then even 3 again the first few games and then get blanked by them. And that's the first 7 games against the Mets. It looked like they woke up from their slumber, and you needed for them to wake up after you left town. And now you got 2 of 3 from the Phillies coming up this weekend, or 3-game stretch with the Phillies that you need to take at least 2 of 3 from. Mm-hmm. And it just – you've now lost the confidence. And I don't I probably was one of the first people this season to start in on Michael Harris. And at this point, I do not want to keep going at him because I don't – it's what it is. You have to – Is it Verdugo or him? Okay, there's nothing else.
Yeah,
and I would rather have Michael Harris out there than Verdugo. So to me, it's Eli and Michael. So I'm not even going to sit here and say, does he need a day off? Yeah, sure. Can you afford it? I don't think so, because it's either Fairchild or Verdugo. Because Eli White to me has to be in the lineup at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and not just Michael Harris, and I've been on Michael Harris very hard the last couple of weeks, and, you know, more than the last couple of weeks, honestly, the last month plus, about the way his at-bats have looked. But I will tell you, it wasn't him last night that made me kind of jump the shark on that game a little bit. How about in the 7th inning when Nunez is put in for the Mets and Marcelo Zuna strikes out on 3 straight pitches and Austin Riley chases 3 straight sliders out of the zone? and you get 3 Ks and 3 at-bats right there in the heart of your lineup. Ozuna, Riley, and Michon Murphy go down all on strikeouts right there in the seventh inning. I was like, okay, this game's over. And you know why I'm not even that upset today? Because I have learned that the series finales for the Atlanta Braves, they already have their bags packed. They do, and I don't care what anybody says. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about it coming up in about, what, an hour? But series finales and getaway days and Sundays are absolutely freaking brutal for this Braves team. And I don't know what – I don't know if it's a leadership issue. Well, I don't know if it's a mindset issue. They are now 4-10. 4-10 in series finales on the season.
Now, Mike, in football, it's different in baseball, and I know that.
For sure.
But in football – when teams aren't focused and they come in against a lesser opponent or a day where they're like a noon game, right? It's like if you're Florida and you go to Tuscaloosa and you play, which is a noon game in Florida, it's an 11 a.m. kick there, and you're sleeping, you don't wake up and you don't play to your level. That's always a coaching thing.
Yeah,
that's in football. That is coaching, because what did the coaches not do to prepare? Baseball's different because I immediately do jump to snit and like, what are you need to figure, and I am gonna blame him a little bit. I think snit and is a routine guy, and I think baseball players are hardcore routine people.
I agree.
more than any sport, maybe.
100%.
But at what point does leadership or management say, I need to switch the routine up of this team because it doesn't work for day games or it doesn't work for getaway games? Because, you know, maybe we need to be at the ballpark earlier. Maybe they need – I got to figure out something, tweak just something.
Well, and my takeaway was, you know, Ronald went 0 for 4 last night, and he's been phenomenal since his return from the IL. But when he has a bad game, everybody has a bad game. But he's allowed to have a bad game because he's been so great for us. I just don't know how we can fire up the rest of the offense when he's just not – when he's struggling at the plate.
Well, it's a really good point, Allie, because he's a spark plug, and when he gets off early, and then it just kind of gets everybody like flowing, and, mm-hmm. and the game start you start feeling the game. It's kind of like making a big play on a kickoff or something. I don't know why I keep referring everything to football, like nobody's watching
yeah,
football before.
No, but I'm with you.
But it's right. But it's been Ronnie and Matt, and Riley is getting a lot of heat, but. You know, you go look at it, guys hitting 270, his own base percentage is over 320. You know, he's doing fine. It's needing another spark in that lineup, and Ozzie was it for a long time. He's not doing it right now. Michael Harris was it when he came up, but we know where he's at. He hasn't walked since May. So
that's insane.
And look, sometimes you just – I'm going to say this, and I might regret it, but at this point, I would rather see Michael Harris walk to the plate and take 3 straight strikes than swing at 3 balls in the dirt.
It's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's so bad, man. And again, it's the frustrating part is of it for Braves fans is you don't know what's possible other than that, right? It's just and look, I think you know, I read last night that maybe Nacho Alvarez is dinged up again down at the AAA level. Your options are running out in terms of what to do with a Michael Harris. I don't know if a day off helps him. I've said multiple times a AAA stint where he doesn't even swing a bat for a couple of days is probably what I would do with him if I was running the team. It's frustrating to say the least. And at this point, obviously his defense is great, but man, he is an absolute black hole in that lineup right now.
Yeah, Charlie Culberson told us that was probably the best thing. And I'll say this real quick, Allie. There's so much focus on what the pitching isn't and is on this team.
No, yes.
Grant,
no, thank
Grant
you.
Holmes is 4-7, and it's embarrassing to him that he's 4. It should be embarrassing to the 8 guys that play behind him, or mm-hmm. 9 guys that play behind him. 8 guys, really, because there's only 9 on the field at the time. Because – he's been good. He lowers his ERA last night, and he loses.
I came into this show going, I don't even want to talk about Grant Holmes, because if you don't score runs, you can't win.
Yeah, tonight Bryce Elder will be on the mound. We'll continue this conversation about the Braves throughout the show. Again, Grant McCauley will be on at 7:20. Coming up, though, we've got the front page. Justin Tucker has finally found out what his punishment will be for violating the conduct policy, and we'll get into that. We've also got my Allie Mac drop. Got a fresh rookie report. I thought I had something pinned on someone, but it's really the rest of us just not listening to what this member of the morning shift is saying. I'll explain it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Y'all don't listen to me.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, Ellie Mack, and Dylan. And the Morning Shift is on location today out at Echo Park Speedway for the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Now, as far as the front page, ex-Ravens kicker Justin Tucker got a 10-week ban from the NFL. He was accused of sexual misconduct by 16 massage therapists, so he's going to have to sit out for a moment.
Yeah, and he's currently going to sit out in the unemployment line after the Ravens released him by what they said was a football decision.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. It was a
smart of them to say it was, but yes, I agree with you. It was not.
It also helped, and I want to get y'all's take. It also helped that he had the worst season of his career.
Yeah.
He comes off the worst season of his career. They make a football decision to draft a kicker and then release Justin Tucker right, what I say, a month or so before the suspension comes down, which sounds like the NFLPA and Tucker's people, his agent and lawyer, probably one and the same or both of them, all sat down and said, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. There's nothing legality-wise that Tucker is facing at this moment.
Yeah.
It's all just lawsuits. So he's going to pay some people off, and he's going to be suspended, and he's going to try to catch on with a team that's having a struggling kicker situation late in the season in a playoff race.
Yeah, and this is not quite the Deshaun Watson situation, but it does mirror it in a lot of different ways because what happens is these allegations come out, and whether or not there are criminal charges, the NFL will usually do its own investigation, and they will come to their own conclusion about what exactly happened. And when they find out that there has been some wrongdoing or anything that could, at the very least, put a negative image on the NFL and its players, then they take action on that. And he got the 10-game suspension. Whether or not you agree with it without criminal charges being filed is a different thing. But the NFL is different than some other sports leagues and organizations to where Justin Tucker can serve this 10-game suspension as a free agent. He can be in training camp if some team wants to sign him and serve it that way, but he can also serve it as a free agent and be eligible to play after Week 10 this upcoming season. And it'll be interesting to see if any team wants to go that route.
I am a little bothered by what you just said, and it's not you. I'm not bothered at you. I don't think it's a you thing. But it is different than the Watson thing, and I kind of have an issue with that because Watson, right or wrong, was drugged through the mud and all of that, and I think a lot of that was the timing of it, right? Because some of that was during COVID. And to me, they're accused of essentially the exact same things, and therefore I think Tucker should be viewed in the same light that Deshaun Watson is. If he did the things that they say he did, that he's alleged, then they're the same. Yeah. And I feel the same way about both of them. Now, this whole thing, I don't know if that's what derailed Deshaun Watson's career, if it was coming off the injury, or he just doesn't care about football anymore because he got a guaranteed contract. Yeah. Whatever it is, I wonder if Justin Tucker's career now follows it because Tucker is up there in age for a kick. I mean, not really. Kickers can kick forever, but he's still, what, in his 30s and he's had a great career.
He's been around a while, yeah.
But is his career follow the trajectory that it took last year, or is it changed? It's very there's a lot going on in this, but you're right. I just don't like that you're right that he will be. He's going to probably be forgiven much easier and much quicker than what Deshaun was, or it has been. And to me, they're the same.
Yeah.
And I was actually asked by a friend of mine, that, like, hey, Younghoe Koo, obviously, you know, with some of his struggles last year, which is interesting that those their struggles actually mirrored each other last year. At one point, they were both historically two of the most accurate kickers in the history of the NFL. You know, would you think the Falcons would go out and look at a guy like Justin Tucker this upcoming season? And I said, absolutely not. That's the last thing this team wants with how young you feel like you are, how they always talk about ethos and all these other things. They don't need a sideshow. No matter what you think about Justin Tucker and the allegations against him, it'll be a sideshow at some point. Fairly or unfairly to him, it would be a sideshow for any team that wants to sign him coming up in Week 10 of the season.
We got
to
remember in this town, Allie, that the Falcons actually it might not be Younghoe Koo we're talking about at Week 8 or 9, because I think it's Lenny Krieg. That is the young man from Germany, and you know, I'm gonna have to get with him, and we're gonna have to do some classes if he's the guy that's kicking. But he's gonna be in a full fledged competition with Younghoe Koo for this job.
Sure,
and we got to remember that. So I'm not so in on though that I wouldn't
dude, really. You've kicked the tires on it.
If I'm going to tell you something. If the kicking situation is where it is last year, and I've lost at least two games with missed kicks, my job is on the line, and I'm the real deal Fontenot or Raw, I'm going to kick the tires because look.
I think that you probably would, but answer me this. Do you think that Terry or Raheem would?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Terry was part of the regime that didn't have a problem calling up Deshaun Watson and getting in the sweepstakes.
That's a fair point.
I gotta disagree there, but I don't want to. I'm not trying to be argumentative at all, Allie. I'm just trying to. I just think they would.
No, both standing up, so just everybody be aware.
Well, moving on to Texas State, they are in the final steps of accepting an invitation to the Pac-12. How do you guys like this?
The Pac-12. What is the Pac-12 at this point? I mean, I'm trying to keep up with the Pac-12 news as we talk about the additions. And look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Texas State. Obviously, there's so many teams that are either making a leap to Power 5 conferences, quote unquote, whatever you want to call those these days, and also making the leap. You know, Sacramento State, teams like that, making the leap to Division I. It's such an interesting time to be making these leaps, and obviously. Teams like a Texas State, I think, see it as blood in the water when it comes comes to their opportunity to have their place at the table. I don't even know what does Pac-12 even mean when a team is in Texas. You know what I mean? Like, we used to be Pacific Conference, and now it we're all over the freaking place.
It's funny because to your statement, it would be like the furthest east team because their other teams are. Boise, you know, San Diego State, Colorado State, Utah State, Fresno State, and obviously Oregon State and Washington State. So it there's a lot of states in there, Mike.
Yeah. Dude.
Don't
even get me started on the ACC.
You know what? You're still the Pac-12, and if the only two teams, you know, there's three teams I think could make the playoff in there. Obviously, one of them has recently, just last year, and Boise. But you're gonna have to go out and schedule people. And I mean a lot of people. You're going to be playing a Big Ten team, an SEC team, and an ACC team, and a possible Big 12 team. Or you're going to be nothing but a West Coast version of the MAC.
Yeah, and look, man, I don't blame anybody in this scenario. The Pac-12, the two teams that were left in the Pac-12, that is, were kind of left, you know, just high and dry by the rest of those guys. And it just kind of, you know, game of musical chairs. You know, when Oregon State and Washington State were just kind of left in the Pac-12, nobody wanted them. They couldn't find a chair to sit down in. So I don't blame anybody in this given circumstance. It's just strange for me to look at a team like Texas State and say, oh, Pac-12 contender, there they are. It's outside the realm of my thinking, which everything in college football for the last few years has been.
Well, we got to talk about the bad listeners we have on the morning shift. Let's get into the rookie report.
Now, it's time for Allie's mic drop.
No, it's Mac drop.
Oh, Mac drop on the morning shift. The Mac Daddy make you.
You're both so suspicious. You're both wondering who it's going to be.
I'm terrified.
It's Mike. He don't listen to anything I say.
Right.
First of all three of you are in a little bit of trouble. How dare you not realize today is my 2-month anniversary with the morning shift.
Wow. Yeah. Hang on. Let me get out my calendar.
Imagine people on this show not remembering big events.
I was just about to
That's
say.
That's exactly why I'm bringing it up.
We're on a terrible roll right now, all of us.
Happy belated birthday, Bo.
Happy belated birthday, Bo, and happy 2-month anniversary, Ally Mack.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, look at Dylan always covering all the bases.
I know.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, yesterday was my birthday, which no one decided to recognize on this show. But it's okay. I don't hang up on those things. I thought I was very adult like it.
I was wondering when Mike asked you if you were 42. I was wondering why your face like twitched the way it did. I was like, what was that? But later on, come to find out, it was your birthday, and that's why. But so happy belated birthday. As far as the rookie report, Bo, I think you and I actually suffer from something called Urban Dictionary calls parroting. This is something that's been happening for a couple weeks now, and I didn't realize what was going on. Mike, you say things cooler than we do, and we don't clock it. And then Bo and I repeat it back to you. We parrot it. That's what Urban Dictionary calls it.
Okay.
So when we were talking about washing our calves, whether you do or not.
I washed them this morning, by the way.
Good
I just
job.
Want to throw that out there.
Dang.
Thing. Yeah, it was a calf wash morning.
I washed mine, too.
So you said, yeah, just a little car wash shower. And then Bo immediately started talking about, yeah, a quick shower, da-da-da. And you're like, yeah, that's what I just said, a car wash shower.
Car wash.
And then I did it, too, just a couple days ago. You called Bo Squid Shady with his hoodie up. And then I called him Eminem, thinking it was an original thought. And then you go, yeah, I just called him Squid Shady. But, Mike, you're just too cool for us.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. We're not on your level.
Look, man, you know what? You guys, me and Dylan have gotten together, and we've found some hip slang to throw out there at times. And, you know, I talk to Dylan. I talk to the youth of the world. So, yeah, I can throw out some cool things.
Mike and I have to keep y'all young.
Yeah, so, hold on, Allie.
Yeah.
I don't hear – Mike just took credit from himself and gave it to Dylan. And what I hear is – I get with Dylan and he feeds me good hip sayings.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, did I just parrot you again or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. This is what we should add to our little legend that we're going to put on Twitter. Like, you should make a parrot sound, Mike, anytime someone repeats what you have just said in a cooler way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know what is a parrot. Parrots just talk, right? So I don't even know what a sound is. Just
it'll be like, bark, I just said that.
Bark.
I just said that.
All right, so
Dylan, either we got to have you, or we got to have what's the parrot's name from Aladdin?
Yago.
Yago.
I was just thinking about Yago.
Yeah.
Patience,
Dylan,
Yago.
Either
patience.
You voice it or get Yago, because either one works for me.
Yes.
It's who's the comedian that does that?
It's the little squinty-eyed guy. I guess I should say he's passed away now.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Problem Child.
Godfrey.
Yeah,
Gilbert Godfrey.
He was. Dude, I'm gonna tell you something. Do not watch his comedy. If you ever go back and watch some of his comedy, do not watch it around your kids.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it is.
No, thanks.
He was canceled for a reason. Yeah. So we've got two types of people on the show who happen to be staying in the infield of Echo Park Speedway this week. We've got a planner, and we've got a carefree person that just knows things are going to work out. Bo, this is not a knock on you, because I am the same. I am a planner, and it feels like you land on this side with me. I think it's a great thing. Mike, you happen to be the carefree type who just knows everything is going to work out. You're going to find a way. So why stress about it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we're not on a deserted island. We are at Echo Park Speedway. And, you know, the planning can commence. And there is a couple of things that we'll probably roll over to the store later and pick up. But I was kind of to the point with this trip where I'm like, look, I've got what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pack everything. At some point, we'll realize we didn't get enough ice or wipes or garbage bags. And we'll go over to the store and we'll grab them. I think Bo is of the mindset that, like, I'm ready to drop anchor and not move my truck for 3 days. And I'm like, you know, we're not in Antarctica. There is a Publix like a mile away, like if we have to go down there.
I am the drop anchor type of person. I hate the travel part of going somewhere. If they ever get a teleport machine, I'll be first in line, because I get so impatient and so – you know what? How people are when they're hangry?
Yeah.
That is me when I'm traveling anywhere, doing I just want to get from point A to point B with the least amount of hassle and not forget it. So I try to plan everything out. I also overpack. And I told you on the show call, I said, I don't think I have packed near as much stuff as I did last time. Right before I went and got in my truck, I added like seven items.
Oh, my gosh.
and a couple of them bigger, just like this, just in case.
Well, real quick, I do want to mention, Dylan, you're getting the Too Humble Award this week, which usually we hold that in high regard in society. But, man, you were co-hosting a draft party at State Farm Arena this week, and you mentioned nothing to it. You're on the Jumbotron at State Farm Arena. Like, what?
I'll say this real quick. Co-hosting was and part of the reason that this was seen is because Simone posted it. And co-hosting is a very strong term because I was more so of a correspondent. So just to very quickly break down what I was doing, anybody associated with the Hawks that was in the building for the draft night party, they could not legally talk about the trades because they were not finalized yet. So that's where I came in. I could talk about them because I was with 92.9, obviously, and not with the Atlanta Hawks. So that's where I came into the fold. So I came out at different points in the time, and obviously you talked about Porzingis trade when it first started, and then when we traded back, I talked about that as well. So co-hosting is, again, strong term. I was more of a correspondent.
Stop taking credit away from yourself. We're all proud of you. It's an awesome thing. But I'm going to have a word with Simone's because she's going to start giving me heads up since you clearly won't. But we're proud of you. We wish we could have pubbed you. So next time, let us know because anything you do is a part of what this show does, and we're proud of that opportunity.
Falcons insider Dylan Matthews.
Yeah, exactly. So Dylan, next time, tell us.
I'm sorry. No, Hawks, yeah, sorry.
You Dylan, next time, tell us. And Bo, next time, remind us it's your birthday. I'm just kidding.
You're my Facebook friend.
All right, coming up, Braves and Mets split the series. What went wrong? We're going to talk about that next on Sports Radio 90.
The Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.